You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
So happy Mother's Day to all the moms in here. I was thinking this week about all the things that my mom has taught me and wrote some of them down. Y'all want to hear them? Say amen, okay? My mom taught me to appreciate a job well done. She used to always say to my sister and I, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. Amen, y'all? My mom taught me all about irony because she used to say things to me like, you keep on crying and I will give you something to cry about. You know what I mean? That's irony right there. Irony right there. She taught me about foresight. She always told me to make sure I wore clean underwear in case I got into an accident. You know what I mean? I don't need to be picking you up off the side of the road with dirty underwear on. Taught me how to talk to God. Say things to me like, you better pray this stain comes out of the carpet. Y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm saying. Taught me how to take responsibility for my actions. She really did. I remember one time she said, if you fall out of that tree and break both legs, don't come running to me. You know what I mean? You're responsible for it. She taught me how to time travel. Some of y'all can relate to this. Probably know what I'm going to say before I even say it. She'd look at me all the time. We say this to our kids today because we love them. If you don't stop, I'm going to knock you into next week. You know what I mean? Time travel. Time travel is a real thing. Finally, she taught me about behavior modification. My mom would always look at me and say, stop acting like your father. Amen, y'all. Like, that's real behavior modification. Thanks to all the moms in here. Really, really glad you're here. We are in the second week of a series where we're going through the book of Proverbs. If you're new to Rev Church, what we like to do majority of the time is preach verse by verse through books of the Bible or large passages of Scripture. And we're in Proverbs right now. We're going to end up going through the whole book. Last week, we started out in chapter 1. But this week, we're going to fast forward all the way to the last chapter, chapter 31 of Proverbs, because what better passage of Scripture to preach on Mother's Day than the passage of Scripture that is about, some translations say, the wife of noble character, or more popularly, the virtuous woman. When you look at Proverbs 31, it was written by someone named King Lemuel. Now, there's speculation as to whether or not this is actually Solomon, and King Lemuel was a nickname that his mother gave him, and that this proverb is written about Bathsheba, but that's all it is speculation. The Scripture doesn't tell us this. I actually believe that it's a separate person, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. As we open up Proverbs 31, we see in the first couple of verses that this is wisdom that King Lemuel's mother gave to him in how to be a good man. So Proverbs 31, when we talk about the virtuous woman, it's not just for the females in here to encourage you, to instruct you. It's also for the men in here, particularly the single men, the young men that are looking for a wife. What we're going to talk about today are the attributes or the characteristics that you look for in a wife, because this does, in fact, give us an example of what a perfect wife is. Now, as we go over this list of qualities of the virtuous woman, I want the females in here to understand that this is an ideal. It's a model. That's why I believe this wasn't written about Bathsheba or a particular person, because this really describes the perfect woman, and we all know there is no perfect woman. Can I get a good amen? Amen, y'all? Now, my wife said when I went over this sermon with her and I said that, she said, well, you better say there ain't no perfect men either. So we also know that there are no perfect men. Can I get a good amen? Why is that so much louder? I don't understand. Nobody's perfect. So you're going to have some of these if you love Jesus, and you may be lacking in some of these areas that we're going to talk about today. You're going to see today that if you read through the book of Proverbs, and I would encourage you to read one a day. If it's the 10th of the month, read Proverbs 10. There's 31 of them. You can get through them 12 times in a year. But you're going to see today that, as I said last week, that several subjects are personified in the book of Proverbs because it's written in Hebrew poetry. And the virtuous woman is in strong contrast to the, as an example, the adulterous woman that's talked about in Proverbs, the adulterous woman that flatters with her lips, forsakes the covenant with her husband, her lips drip honey, she's smooth with her tongue, she looks for a victim. The virtuous woman is in strong contrast to the loud, boisterous woman that is talked about, the woman that no one wants to live with because she drives everyone off. The virtuous woman is in strong contrast to the foolish woman, the rebellious woman, the quarrelsome woman. No, the virtuous woman are the qualities that every female should strive to have that loves Jesus. Additionally, in the ancient Hebrew, the virtuous woman was known as the alphabet wife or the alphabet of wifely excellence. And the reason is because if you look at verses 10 through 31, which is where we're going to be today in Proverbs 31, in the Hebrew, it encompassed 22 verses. Well, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And this Hebrew poem is crafted as an acrostic. What I mean by that is each verse begins with a successive letter in the Hebrew alphabet. If you were to take the first two verses and do this in English, what I'm describing they did in the Hebrew, it might sound something like this. An awesome wife, who can find her? A blessed lady, her husband trusts her. A caring woman, she does him good all her life. A diligent worker, she is skillful with her hands. That's kind of a neat little tidbit of how this was written in the Hebrew poetry. John MacArthur says that over these 21 verses, that you will essentially see six things that are highlighted. He says that you'll see her character as a wife, the virtuous woman's devotion as a homemaker, her generosity as a neighbor, her influence as a teacher, her effectiveness as a mother, and her excellence as a saint. Well, I've more than doubled. I don't have six. I got 13 things for us today, 13 qualities. Is that not awesome, y'all? Amen. Like, we got a baker's dozen in here. Lucky number 13. I know what some of y'all are thinking. The reason we only had three people say amen, you're like, man, we gonna get out of here on time? We are. Don't worry. We will get out of here on time. I promise, okay? I promise. So let's start in Proverbs 31 in verse 10. We're going to stop along the way in some of these verses, and I'm going to give you these 13 attributes, 13 qualities of a virtuous woman or a wife of noble character, and I think we're going to end up in a good place today. Y'all with me? Say I am. It starts out like this. A wife of noble character, who can find? There's a big question at the beginning. Who can find a virtuous woman? We're going to answer that here in just a second. The B part of this verse, it says, she is worth far more than rubies. Number one of the 13 qualities of the virtuous woman. I don't really mean to be humorous in the first point, but in the culture that we live in America today, this is a very important point for us to make and clarify. And the reason is because we believe at Revolution Church that the Bible is the Word of God, and it is our map for everything we believe. It is the standard for everything we believe and trust in. So point number one is simply this. The virtuous woman, she is a she. She is a she. She's not a they. She's not a them. She's not a us. A mother is a female that has a womb, or to put it in other terms, has a uterus, and the DNA in her would say she is a female. Now, we have to start with this because culture today is trying to rob biblical womanhood, much less virtuous womanhood. Womanhood today says career goals above all. Womanhood today says your husband and kids can't get in the way of your career goals, promiscuity, just have multiple partners. You know, it's all about you and your desires and what you want. It's all about independence. I don't need anyone's help. If I have kids, then I'm going to let the tablets babysit them. I'm going to let the school system raise them. And what we're going to find today is that is not the virtuous woman. So almost everything culture has told you, ladies, about what it means to be a virtuous woman, a godly woman, a good woman, a driven woman is wrong. we're going to see that the Bible today tells us what it is. And point number one is, she is a she. Okay, y'all? She's a she. Okay? Identify a she around you and say, what's up? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. Sorry. Some single gal's in here to get ministered to, and some single guy just said, what's up, you know? What's up? Pastor told me to say it. It says she has noble character. Noble character. Translated in other translations of the scripture, it says she's virtuous. She's a woman of strength. She's a woman of real ability, strong, wealthy. And that doesn't just mean in finances. Valiant, capable, excellent, precious. Number two, she is priceless. This verse tells us she is worth more than rubies. A very, very common commodity of the day that was used to trade. Three other times in the book of Proverbs, we see this spoken to. And it really answers the question, a wife of noble character, who can find? Question mark. In other words, gentlemen, you're single in here. How can you find a wife of noble character? Listen to what it says. Proverbs 12. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Listen to Proverbs 19:14. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents. Hey, that's great. You got a house. You got some wealth. Mom and dad left you something. But a prudent wife is from eHarmony. Match.com. Going to the club every Saturday night or Friday night. No, a virtuous woman, a prudent wife, comes from the Lord. How do you find a virtuous woman? You pray that God sends you one. You beg God, gentlemen, that he sends you a virtuous woman. She is priceless. Verse 11, we continue. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Where it says lacks nothing of value, I like a different translation that says, he shall have no need of spoil. In other words, he doesn't want for anything because his wife really fills in the gaps for him. Verse 12, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Number three, a virtuous woman is a helpmate to her husband, a helpmate. Some churches, some preachers, some denominations would like to make you think that the Bible is very chauvinistic in nature, that women are in fact, whether they say this or not, this is the example that they give off, and this is how they treat it, that women are in fact to be the slaves of men, or the only purpose that you have in this earth is to be the servant of a man. It's important to note that women are helpmates. The virtuous woman is a helpmate. God never intended woman to be a servant of a man. She is his partner, a real partner. She is a helpmate. This is the language that the scripture uses. For instance, in the creation account, it tells us that Adam was only half a man until God made Eve. One theologian says that husbands that are married in here were only half a man until they found their wife. Unless you've been given the gift of singleness, which is a gift according to the New Testament because you can serve God and you're not married, then the men in here would say, man, my wife sure does make me a lot better than if I wasn't with her. So she's a helpmate. Fourthly, she is competent. Specifically, it tells us she's competent in managing finances and necessities well. In other words, she makes sure that her family has what they need. My wife is a sales shopper. What I mean by that is when we go to Target, she stops at the dollar section. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The Target dollar section? And she has this thought process that everything's just a dollar, so I've got to buy 50 of them even though we don't need them. Y'all know what I'm saying? My wife loves the Dollar Tree. When we bought this theater, we about went bankrupt because all she was doing was walking across the street to the Dollar Tree to get everything until she got super offended because they raised the prices from $1 to $1.25. In the first service, the women were like, "That's right, I was mad too. Charged me a quarter? Oh." Recently, she's gotten an app that has a lot of deals on it. And I'm going to warn you of this app in here, husbands, and go ahead and block it on her phone. It's called Shein. Shein is an app that has anything you can think of, but it's really, really cheap. And so all week long at the Cardwell household, we're getting Shein boxes and Shein bags, and guess what's inside it? All kinds of stuff that was really cheap, and that's her explanation for it. "I need 50 bathing suits because they were only $3 each, babe." Isn't it funny how women say they need it, but everything guys want, it's just a want? I don't know how that works, but anyway. My point is this. My wife knows where the sales are. She is competent in finances. She knows the good brands. She knows when to stock up on it. She knows when to get the good toilet paper because it's on sale at Kroger. Y'all know what I'm saying? And she's going to load up on it. She's competent in managing finances and necessity well. This verse really speaks to this idea that a wife and a mother has tremendous ability to influence the entirety of the family. A wife or a mother has tremendous ability to influence her household. In fact, I would put it this way, that the mother or the wife determines the peacefulness of the household. In most cases, almost every case, she has much more influence in the area of peace in the home. So when you're a peaceful woman, people love to be around you. But when you're not a peaceful woman, the book of Proverbs has verses that describe you. And this is why I love Proverbs. We hardly have to use any humor because some of these verses are just so funny. For instance, one of them says, if you're not a peaceful woman that doesn't allow peace to reign free in your household, it says, it's better to live on the corner of a rooftop than in a house with a brawling or contentious woman. And some of the men in here are thinking, amen, but you ain't going to say it out loud, amen. It's Mother's Day. We're going to be good to Mama today, right? Don't get that one tattooed on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, next time y'all get into it, look right here, honey. You know what I mean? You're going to be dead. Another verse. A quarrelsome wife is as annoying as a constant dripping on a rainy day. You got a leak in your roof, and you don't know what to do. That's a quarrelsome wife. Constant dripping on a rainy day. You know what that's really describing? Chinese water torture, y'all. Drip on the forehead that just drives you to insanity. Those aren't negative verses. Those verses speak to the power of the wife, the power of the mother, and the influence you have over your home. Verse 13, we continue, and it says, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. In biblical times, you made your clothes, you made all the things, your quilts and everything, and that's what it's speaking to here. And what this really means is, number five, the fifth quality of a virtuous woman is, she isn't afraid of hard work. Additionally, verses 16 through 19 confirms this idea when it speaks again to her willingness to work hard, when it says she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She seeks that her trading is profitable, sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. So she's not afraid of hard work. One theologian wrote, she works hard with her hands and she works hard with her head. In other words, she understands that sometimes you have to sweat a little. Sometimes you have to physically work hard. But then she also uses her brain and has lots of wisdom. And yes, while sometimes you grit it out, sometimes you learn that you need to work smarter and not harder, if that makes sense. So a virtuous woman understands how to put systems in place. She understands and learns from mistakes and different things. I use the example of laundry. If there's a certain kind of stain in laundry, many times the husband just leaves the stain because we have no clue how to get it out. But many women know the exact ratio of what ingredients to put on that stain in order to get it out. This is a virtuous woman. She isn't afraid of hard, hard work. Verse 14 continues. Y'all still with me? Say, I am. It says, she is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. Think about merchant ships that would come through the waterways constantly, 24/7. They're coming and they're going, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servant. Number six, the virtuous woman is never done. Never done. Ships are always running. She gets up at night. What's the old saying? A mom's work is never done. Verse 27 speaks to this. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She doesn't just sit around and eat bonbons and watch soap operas all day. Y'all know what I'm saying? She's not just on Netflix all day. Verse 18, we just read it, speaks to it too. Her lamp does not go out at night. There's a very old saying that says, a man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work, how y'all think it ends, is never done. Never done. We know this is true. If the kids get sick at 2 a.m., who's getting up to take care of the kids? Mama is. When the husband gets the man flu, and we're about to die. Y'all know it's real. Somebody said, easy, you know. Who's serving him? Who's taking care of him? Who's there for him? Man, the wife is. She's never done. There's always something to do. Verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Number seven, quality number seven, she is a generous person. She's not stingy. She helps people. She's compassionate. The idea here is, and you're going to see this reiterated here in a moment, that she is a blessing not just to her family, but she's also a blessing to her neighbors. She's also a blessing to her friends. She's also a blessing to her community. She's also a blessing to her church. So she's very generous. Verse 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household. Consider this in Proverbs when it talks about it snowing. Those are the seasons where they couldn't grow any crops. That's where they couldn't grow any crops. When it snows, she has no fear for her household. So they're in a winter season, so to speak. Think of it like that. For all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Now, when it talks about her family being clothed in scarlet and making linens for her bed, one theologian said, a good mom dresses her kids and dresses her husband and makes sure that the beds are made. And that is very true. A good mom will help her husband get dressed. I've got like a version of colorblindness, and if I tried to match stuff myself, I'd look like an idiot walking out of the house. And so Brooke helps me to match my clothes, but it's so much deeper than that. So much deeper than that. This is speaking to the winter seasons of life when the snow hits. So quality number eight is she can endure hard times. The virtuous woman trusts completely in God, even through difficult times. Times of financial strain, she trusts God. Seasons of sickness, she trusts God. She goes through a season of death and is in mourning. She trusts God. Any season of struggle, she trusts God. If you pick up on something and you reread verse 21 and 22, you find that verse 21 tells us the priority in the virtuous woman's life is to first take care of others. In verse 22 is when she takes care of herself. The virtuous woman truly understands how to have joy in her life. joy is an acrostic. This is what we teach the kids in Rev Kids Ministry, is this: Jesus first, others second, you third. She has this in her life and understands that motherhood and being a wife is not just self-help, which is what the culture tells you today. Self-help, it's all about you caring for yourself. No. It's about being selfless. Selfless. She epitomizes the scripture in Philippians that says you're to think of others more than you think of yourself. Verse 23 and 24, we see attribute number 9 and 10. It says her husband is respected at the city gate. So a man that loves God is respected in his church, respected in his community as a result of living for God, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. Number 9 and 10 kind of run together because they both speak to the idea of the virtuous woman or the wife of noble character complimenting her husband. Number 1, she enhances her husband's reputation. Number 2, she is an extension for her husband's responsibilities is what these verses speak to. She enhances means this. When you're married, when people see your wife, gentlemen, they see you. When your wife speaks, it's an extension of you speaking. Let me use this as an example. And the reason I use this as an example is not because I'm more important than you. It's just I know me best, and I think this will translate well, and this will make it click for us. I'm the lead pastor of Revolution Church. My wife is Brooke, who leads us in worship. She's our worship leader. So when Brooke does something, it's as if I'm doing something. If Brooke says something, you better believe every person at Revolution Church is not just going to judge her for it, they're going to judge me for it. She is an extension of my reputation, and a virtuous woman enhances her husband's reputation. Brooke is a great example for what we're talking about today because Brooke is someone whose opinion, because I respect her so much and she has so many of these qualities. She's not perfect, but I hold her opinion in very high regard, very high regard. Every decision we make at this church, I go to the elders, I go to the staff, we talk about it as pastors, high-level leaders, we'll talk about things. But typically the first person that I talk to about decisions I'm thinking about, who do you think it is? It's my wife. Why? Because she enhances my reputation. She enhances my decision-making ability. Every time I'm going to hire somebody, if Brooke doesn't know him, I want her to meet him. She picks up on things. She's got discernment. She sees things from a female perspective that maybe I don't see. And I'm just going to tell you, every single time in this church that I haven't listened to her warnings, what do you think has happened? It's went great, perfect. And I get to look at her later and say, I told you so. You know what I'm saying? How do you tell somebody you were right? You know what I mean? No, it goes very badly. I hire somebody that she says, I'm not sure about them. You may want to hold off on that. I go ahead and hire them. Guess what we got in the church? We got drama, and it takes me 6 months to get it cleaned up. Every sermon that I preach, typically on Saturdays, I preach the entire thing to her first because I want to know, what do you think? She hears it from a different set of ears, from a different perspective, from a woman's point of view. And she's got all that wisdom. And she'll tell me, most of the time it's, don't say that. You're going to make everybody mad. You know what I'm saying? And I'll lighten things up a little bit. You know what I mean? And so this is the idea here. Does that make sense to everybody? Say amen. So she enhances her husband's reputation. And secondly, it speaks to her being an extension for her husband's responsibilities. The idea with these two verses is a great woman can take a mediocre man and lift him to greatness. The idea is she makes him better than he could be without her. And I don't know about other husbands in here, but boy, that's the truth with me. But I didn't have my wife in my life to hold me accountable, to help keep me on the straight and narrow. Iron sharpens iron. I'm afraid of what would happen to me. I'm afraid of what I'd be addicted to. I'm afraid of how out of control I would be. A virtuous woman compliments her husband and makes him a better man. Verse 25, it continues. Y'all still with me? Say, I am. Pretty practical stuff, y'all. Good stuff. Say amen. Just lie to me if it's not. Amen? You're making me feel good. Says this, she is clothed with strength and dignity. We've spoken to that. But here's the more important part of this verse, the B part of this verse. Very important. She can laugh at the days to come. She can laugh at the days to come. The virtuous woman, she knows how to laugh. She knows how to laugh. This is a point that may be the only reason some of y'all are at church today, because you struggle in this area. You're a type A personality. Everything's planned out. You got here 15 minutes before service. Y'all that rolled in at the third worship song, I'm not worried about with this. You're just freestyling it. You know what I mean? But the people that were on time, you sit in the same seat every single week. You have everything set up on a schedule. Your life is set up on a spreadsheet that you have on the refrigerator at home. You tend to lean towards OCD. If everything in the house is not exactly where it's supposed to be, you're losing your mind on your entire family, you better learn how to laugh. You better learn how to laugh. There is a balance between seriousness and fun. And some of us in here, let's just be honest, your spirit animal is Eeyore. Who's got it? Raise your hand. Anybody's spirit animal Eeyore? See, some of y'all raising your hand, yeah? Not many, though. Let's do this. Who's sitting next to somebody whose spirit animal is Eeyore? I can't believe y'all are raising your hand. It's Mother's Day. What are you doing? This isn't just for the females. What does Ecclesiastes say? There's a time to mourn and a time to laugh. We laugh a lot at Revolution Church because we believe it's biblical. It encourages, brings joy. It helps connect the dots for some of us. But if you've got a resting Grinch face 24/7 that's turned into a resting Grinch attitude, you got to pray and beg God to teach you how to laugh. Pray and beg God. And I go through those moments too. I'm like that sometimes. The staff will tell you, I come in here some Sundays like a tornado, just acting crazy. And so some of us, it's not all the time, but we have those moments where we need to take a deep breath, learn how to laugh, enjoy things. I'll give you this wisdom. If you want your kids, when they're adults, to want to be around you and bring the grandkids around, you better learn how to laugh. We went over the book of Ephesians. Went over the book of Ephesians when we first moved in here. We went through that verse. Don't provoke your children to anger. And how did we explain that verse? One of the contexts of that verse meant don't ever drive your kids to a point where they feel like, what's the use? Doesn't matter what I do, mom's always going to be mad and getting on to me. I can't do anything right anyway. Dad's always going to be fussing about something. It's never going to be good enough. No, you balance seriousness with humor, with fun, with laughter. Amen, Rev Church. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Number 12, we got two more. Number 12, she is wise and consistent in her advice and admonitions. So she's extremely effective as a mother. She's full of wisdom. She speaks with wisdom. She has understanding. So she's constantly giving, as chapter 1 said, and we defined it last week, words of insight to her kids, to her husband, to those that she loves. But she also, what does it say, is faithful in instruction. Faithful instruction Another way to put that would mean consistent in instruction. We defined instruction last week. Instruction is to teach by discipline. We went through some of the ways we were taught by discipline as kids based on your generation. Maybe it was spanking. Maybe it was time out. Maybe it was grounding. Maybe your parents looked at you and said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to take your phone, or you're not going to get to play video games anymore. The style of instruction is not what the Bible is speaking to here. The virtuous woman is consistent in her discipline, consistent in her instruction. In other words, if you've ever noticed this in life, parents that constantly threaten their kids but never follow through with discipline, what do their kids end up being? Out of control. Let's bring this home and give this another example. You ever been at Walmart and a kid is having a freaking meltdown, and the mom and the dad, or both of them, or one of them, constantly just keep saying, if you don't stop, I'm gonna, if you don't stop, I'm gonna, if you don't stop, I'm gonna. And by like the fifth or sixth time, you know, they ain't gonna do jack squat to this kid. And who else knows? The kid knows. And it's almost like every time they threaten, the kid gets worse and worse and worse and worse, driving everybody within 100 feet of them absolutely insane. Why? Because there's no consistency in the instruction, consistency in the discipline. That kid needs to learn about time travel. That's 2 weeks in a row I've told people to beat their kids. I'm not saying beat your kids, okay, y'all? I'm not saying that. Don't beat them. Just rough them up a little bit, you know what I mean? Survive. I remember I was at this conference once, and this old preacher, it's true. He said, there's one place on their body where you're not going to hit any internal organs. Whoop that butt, y'all. Whoop that butt. It's true. Whatever it is, though, just consistency. Makes sense to everybody? This is so practical. Virtuous woman, verse 27. And here's where verse 27 through 31 is really the most important quality, okay? She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. We already read that. So verse 28 to 31. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Number 13, last one. Lucky number 13. She is an excellent saint. She loves Jesus and does the best she can to follow Jesus. She really tries to live her life according to the Bible. She loves God. A noble wife is praised by her family. Let me say this additionally. A wise husband will offer praise to his wife in words of affirmation. This isn't the only book of the Bible written in Hebrew poetry where we see this. Song of Solomon is chock full of a husband constantly being verbal with his wife with words of affirmation to encourage her. So men in here, if you don't do that, you need to do that. And typically, men are worse at that than women. But women need it even more, even if it's their love language, like 10 times more. But I believe every single female needs it. So a wise husband praises his wife. Wise kids speak well of their mother. Even if you're here this weekend and Mother's Day is a very hurtful reminder to you of how your mother abandoned you, or she got hooked on drugs, or whatever it is, and you have the question, how do I honor my mom? Well, I'm not saying you let her back in your life to destroy your life. I'm not saying you give a drunk a drink. I'm not saying that. The way you honor her is you don't speak ill of her. The only time you open your mouth about her is if you're going to say something good. Otherwise, if you don't have anything good to say, y'all know? Don't say nothing at all. That's how many of us honor our parents that grew up in destructive and broken situations. You don't let them move back in with you, but you only speak well of them. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. Father Time is undefeated, y'all. Why do you think they make so much money off Botox? Why do you think they make billions of dollars off anti-wrinkle cream? Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We are so caught up, and young men in here particularly, single men in here, listen to me. We're so caught up in the physical, the outside. Is she hot? That's what young guys say to me all the time. I say this joke all the time, but like, Pastor, she's just so hot. I don't know if I can break up with her. I'm like, yeah, well, hell's hot too, buddy. You know what I mean? So, you know what the other side of that is? I shouldn't say this. The other side of that is when, I don't know, I shouldn't say this. I'm looking to see if my wife's in here. This is why we have Rev Kids, because we talk about adult things in here. But, you know, if a girl says, he's just a stud, I'm like, yeah, well, he may put the STD in stud. Y'all know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. I didn't plan on saying that. I'm sorry. We gotta hurry. Your first priority in finding a wife is you look at the inside, man. Does she love Jesus? God looks at the inside. That's what he judges through. And we should follow suit. So you look at the inside. The last verse says, honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is Mother's Day. We honor moms. Your mother is worth double honor, triple honor, quadruple honor, if she does the best she can to love Jesus and live her life according to his word. Nobody's perfect, but she does the best she can. She's worth double honor. If she is living a godly life in a skillful manner, because that's wisdom. Herbert Locker said this about moms, Christian moms. Christian mothers are the world's greatest asset, the greatest human influence, and the most wholesome and substantial contribution to human society comes from our mothers. Couldn't agree more. It's been said before that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. It's true in a lot of sense, isn't it? Thank you, moms. We appreciate you guys that love Jesus, all the women in here. Single, mothers, not a mother, wife, no kids. Thank you for doing what you do, because it's huge. Amen, Rev Church? Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we love you. Thanks for your word. Thanks for the book of Proverbs. It's so applicational, so easy to understand. God, I pray for all the moms in here. I pray that today is a day of encouragement. Some people's kids have driven out of town to go to church with them, and they get to pick the restaurant today, and they never get to do that. They're always making everybody else happy. Thank you for that. But I also pray for those that maybe today is a heavy reminder of the fact that they lost their mother. Maybe it's a reminder that they can't have kids, and they always desired to, but they couldn't have kids, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit comforts. I pray that your Holy Spirit ministers to every single person in here that needs it. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You guys are dismissed.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.